we're at the capacity where we start to affect change. I think we're really sort of transitioning ourselves as an organization from a startup phase to, like, if I talk in business terms, so it would be like a small business phase, right? So there's a lot of challenges that come with that from an organizational standpoint. So we're somewhere in between that startup and small business stage and the typical growing pains, as you would imagine, any organization goes through.
One of the growing pains you talked about was hiring. You grew from 14 people to 100 people over the last 6-7 months. That's a huge amount of growth. How have you been able to manage it? And then how do you overcome the hiring barriers that every agency seems to face?
We have a saying at 18F that, like, code is never finished. You want to constantly iterate it. Well, business processes are the same exact thing. You should constantly iterate and improve your business processes. And what we did was an agile business process reengineering project. It really was us working directly with GSA's HR department and breaking down what are the goals we want to shoot for, how do we improve that, the GSA administrator's office. Like any agile movement, it was a cross-functional team all delivering to one goal. Not each group enforcing their own function, but using their function to deliver one desired result. And it's great. It's gotten better. It's not perfect. We're looking to tinker it a little more, get it down to 6 weeks, and we dream about 4 weeks one day. But there's also other types of hiring we need to do. There's other programs we need to release. I envision in the future many, many sort of, like, if you will, channels in which we hire, right, and bring people through different processes. So it and all of it is just consistently doing that, dedicating the resources, the time that it takes to improve these processes.
Somebody will sit back and go, well, they must have gotten special authorities, they must have gotten lucky somehow, they must have gotten a wink and a nod from GSA to get it down to 6 weeks or 8 weeks. Did you guys have any special, I'll call it in quotes, treatment? Or did you just look at the process and say, there's got to be a better way?
No, we didn't have any special authorities. We didn't have any special treatment, but I want to sort of qualify that for a second, because when we went about doing this, this was going to happen, right? It wasn't a matter of, like, well, we'll give it a try. It was, we need this in order to be an organization. And the treatment we got was clearance from above. It was okay to try things. It's okay to tinker with things and do things and even fail a little bit. I mean, the first employees we brought through the system, we tried with live fire, if you will, right? Like, okay, you know, told the first employees going through, this isn't going to be perfect. We're going to bring you through, but with you going through the process, we'll be able to see what happens and goes there. Now, the nice thing about having no special authorities or doing this through regular practices, and by the way, we learned of these ways to do things from people, innovators already in government, right? We just collected this information, put it together in one package, did the process, and then delivered upon it. And now we're trying to improve upon it. And now we're also spreading the word of it. Like, this is this package, the way we did it, other agencies can use it. GSA has now spread it across GSA, and now other agencies are asking us, and we're sharing the same information.
In fact, that was my next question, is could other agencies use it? So it's good to see that that can happen. Because I imagine now that you're expanding, and you, as you said, went from 14 people to 100 people, and now you're adding more capabilities to 18F. Talk a little bit about the consulting practice. What will it do? I enjoyed your analogy of being a Sherpa for Agile.
Yeah. Our goal, and we're just piloting this, so it's in its infancy, but we're piloting it with three agencies, and the idea is that we can put a solution architect, or what, like you mentioned, we sometimes call like an agile Sherpa, to help agencies make the decisions behind how do I break a larger system down into smaller modules and then buy those smaller pieces out. And there's all sorts of complex decisions that go into it. Sometimes we'll build little pilots to show the direction we think we want to go in and work with the agencies to do that. We're very big on user-centered design, so maybe we engage a design thinking team early on to really encapsulate what the system should do to be successful for users. All of these tools, all of these methodologies would be at the ability for that Sherpa to sort of work with the agency and show how you could do that, and then eventually actually get to a moment where you're buying the service. But, you know, focusing a lot on that upfront, what you need to do upfront before you're really ready to buy.
I know there's some sensitivities, if you will, around the pilots. Can you talk more broadly about what they're looking at? Are they on specific projects, meaning that agency X needs help on this project, or are they more generally looking at business processes and you're going in to help an agency maybe look at a set of business processes to buy technology better, to buy something better?
I feel like the universe of projects that would qualify under 18F consulting is very large, right? Sometimes it's going to be small software projects. Sometimes it's going to be small business process engineering projects, right? And the ones that we're focusing on are mid to large size actual projects. But again, we're coming at it as a modular, break it down into smaller pieces. We're not taking over the whole thing. We're coming in as an advisor to help them, hopefully successfully help them break them into modules, so you start seeing results earlier and you take small mitigated risks up front, help them do that as opposed to some waiting for some long-term delivery, right? Like, let's start getting deliveries happening regularly and frequently, and guiding people on how you would do that, even on big projects.
You talked a little bit about what you'd like to see 18F go to eventually, you know, grow to be something that was not looking at what vehicle is the right vehicle from a procurement standpoint, but what is the right process? And that's where the user-centric design comes in and the agile comes in. How do you think that 18F can help the government get there?
Yeah, no, I agree. It is. But I think also it makes sense. Like, if you had access to the users of your system and the success of your system was weighted on the use of that system, then wouldn't you want to make decisions up front to ensure the users are engaged and want to actually use the system? And that's really a simplified and sort of one way to look at user-centered design. It's really more of an immersion in sort of understanding the different types of users, because there's usually more than one type of user. This is new in the sense that, you know, the federal government will often focus on stakeholder-centered design, and shifting that fundamental view is change management, right? This is going to be difficult, and it's something that we're working with all of our clients on, our agency clients, and we'll continue to do so. And it will be a continuing story over the next year of what does it mean to actually be user-centered.
You told a couple very funny stories during the Tech America Vision Conference regarding some experiences you guys have had when you talk user-centered design. Do you get the sense that people understand it? Do they need to be explain to what this means from a different perspective? Because I think anyone would say, well, of course I'm designing this for my users. I just happen to know what my users need. And that the difference from what you're saying is, no, we're going to ask the users and then design it, versus any one person or any one group knows what they think they need. Is a shift happening?
You had asked about, like, do people know what they're getting, or do they know how to do it? And the truth is, we all make that same mistake. You described it very well, which is like, well, I know what my user needs, right? Like, there's this temptation, I think, particularly in software development, where, yeah, I'm user-centered, I believe in that, but for the functionality we're building right now, I actually know what the user needs and what they want. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, I look at it and say, actually, that's important information, right? What you think the user needs, bring that to the table. Let's collect data on what the users say they need. And it's not like a user's always right scenario, right? Like, it's like, let's collect the data and make it in a thoughtful manner. But yeah, and the other side of this is, it's a safe sounding word, user-centered design. People don't know what it means. There's a control nervousness here, right? Are you giving up control over your system? The reality is, you're not. You're actually choosing to endeavor upon a methodology that has a very high rate of success compared to current methodologies. And I would like to give that control up if I could get a higher success rate. But it's hard for any of us to truly understand something until we do it. Right? That's just true for humans in general, right? And so I don't begrudge. I didn't fully understand it till I participated in it. And like the first time I heard about Agile, you know, I went to do it. It wasn't until I did it a couple times that I really started to get an in-depth knowledge. And this is the same way. It's expected. As people practice it and do it, they will get better at it and understand it more.
You're here at an industry conference, and I think it's important to talk to industry, because I think there's a lot of consternation about 18F in industry, and there's a lot of concern about, are you taking a piece of my pie? And I know you probably get this question or you hear this comment a lot, but I thought I'd at least give you the opportunity to help clarify what 18F is and how it relates back to industry, because one of the things that you mentioned was, we do need industry's help. There are areas, big areas, that industry can help us be better at, do better at, not just from 18F, but obviously from a broader innovation perspective.
This doesn't get done, and the done being, we don't successfully transform the way the federal government builds and buys IT without industry. I don't see how that path exists, right? So, of course, industry has to be involved, and frankly, they'll be involved in the majority of it because of the sheer size of the marketplace that we're talking about and the work that needs to get done. There's a lot of program offices through the federal government that want to use these methodologies. We want to open up the door by changing the infrastructure inside the federal government so that they can go out and buy these methodologies and or get them from us. But it's just too huge of a problem for us to be able to tackle it on our own. But being inside government allows us the ability to work with government agencies from the inside to start preparing for the expectations of what does it mean to be user-centered? What does it mean to truly use Agile? You can't use that same contract you've been using. We got to change some things before something becomes an RFP. And so I think any healthy organization should be able to make the build versus buy decision. How can you go into the world with only one choice, right? And if you know how to build it, you're going to know how to buy it.